It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Washington Post Department of Data columnist Andrew Van Dam explains how his team analyzed a trove of Labor Department data to suss out the most physically demanding jobs in America. We get takeaways from this analysis, and you can join the conversation. Call in with a question, add your comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Andrew, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Geez, thanks so much.
So the Bureau of Labor Statistics compiles data about the country's jobs. Why does the government need this data?
Well, in this case, you know, they do a lot of things for like the unemployment rate and that kind of thing. Really boring standard stuff. But why are they looking into this ridiculously specific like requirements of every job in the country? Well, that is actually thanks to the Social Security Administration, who are funding a lot of this because they need that data for their disability adjudications. Because when someone applies for Social Security disability insurance, the SSA needs to determine, can that person do their previous job or can they do any other possible job in the country? Well, it's hard to make that determination unless you know exactly what goes into every possible job in the country.
But these job titles haven't been updated since 1977. I mean, you know, that's been a minute. What went on there? Did the federal government like just fall down on the job?
Yes, I suppose so, because there is this Dictionary of Occupational Titles, which I think it started like sometime before the Second World War and was last updated in 1977. That's what the Social Security Administration has been using to determine your disability ever since then, you know, for decades upon decades now. And it turns out the labor market has changed slightly since 1977. And so they were denying people their disability insurance because that person could actually work as, they claimed, a nut sorter, a dowel inspector, just the goofiest, most obscure jobs you can think of.
And I guess this project, this rabbit hole you went down came out of, like, nut sorter data.
Yes, exactly. So what the Social Security Administration realized is the nut sorter data is not going to work for us. People are not impressed by, you know, getting their disability denied because they could sort nuts. And so what we need to do is find a new source that is perfectly tailored to the job at hand. So for years now, they've been working with the Bureau of Labor Statistics to actually create something that applies to the modern economy that is incredibly high quality data. And so they have put tens of millions, hundreds of millions into this big project. And for the past, at least the past 5 years now, and honestly, it's been longer if you include all the crazy preliminary studies and all that, the Bureau of Labor Statistics has been sending economists to businesses all around the country, tens of thousands of them, and asking exactly what goes into every one of these jobs, really drilling down and getting, real useful data on the jobs that Americans actually do today.
So it's really the boots on the ground that is probably the difficult aspect here of why it's so hard to update obsolete jobs and add new ones?
Yes, it is an enormously expensive thing to send probably more than 70 trained economists all around the country to so many different businesses to spend hours at each business asking folks exactly what goes into this. Like, for example, how many hours would you spend sitting or standing at this job? Do you need to reach overhead? Does it require fine motor skills? All these things that you would need to know if someone's disability can prevent them from doing that job.
Okay, so then Andrew Van Dam arrives on the scene, and you crunch some of the agency's data from surveys. So what are you trying to do here? What did you find out?
So I didn't know what I was trying to do at first. I just knew that there was this brilliant new data source that had dropped out of the sky. And when a brilliant data source drops out of the sky, the siren goes off over here in Department of Data headquarters. And so I just raced to it. I ran the numbers every way I could, just looking, trying to understand what went into this, talking to the people who had collected the data, just getting the best feel I could. And one thing I could not escape was that no matter how you source this data, no matter what measure you look at, there is one job more than any other that just keeps coming up on top as the number one job. And so it is clearly the most physically demanding occupation in the entire country, at least by this measure, which I will say has some holes because to we were talking earlier about the enormously labor-intensive process taken to collect all this data. Well, you can only do that when a job has a certain number of workers, right? You need a critical, you need a large enough sample size. And so this is only for, say, the 478 most common jobs in the country. But of those, there's one that just far and away, almost no matter what category you look at, it's pretty comical, actually, how often this happens. But firefighters just shows up as the most physically demanding job in the country. So we created a little index to compare it to all the other jobs out there. And man, no matter what measures you put in this index, from climbing or having crawling or kneeling or exposure to extreme heat, exposure to loud noise, like by so many of these different measures, firefighters come out on top or near the top.
Andrew Van Dam, Department of Data columnist, Washington Post, as we talk about the country's toughest jobs. Now let's bring in someone who does the country's most demanding job. Carlos Velasquez is a lieutenant with the Milwaukee Fire Department, where he is the Fire Education Director. Carlos, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning, Kate. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. So you hear what Andrew is saying there. You hold the most physically demanding job in America by this analysis. What is difficult about your job? Take us inside the life of a firefighter.
Well, thank you. Thank you to Andrew for actually bringing this up to the light. It was actually very interesting reading the report that he put together and listening to the information that he was given. The truth is, when we look at it, I mean, yes, the job does require a lot of physical or it has a lot of physical and mental demands. Basically, but I mean, if you ask me what is it that we do, is it's so hard to put it on perspective. Firefighters, the way that we like to see ourselves is more of problem solvers. You give us a problem, any type of problem, and there is no a set way. We don't have a book that says for this problem, this is what you're going to do. Every problem comes in different, from fires to vehicle accidents, people trapped, collapsed buildings, and every one of them has to be addressed specifically to the situation that we are faced with at the moment. I guess that the most demanding part of the job is the fact that we have to be up and ready and on our A game in a matter of seconds. At least here for Milwaukee Fire Department, we are, if you go to any of our fire stations, you're going to see that we have a timer right next to our garage door. And this timer, as soon as the call comes in, we have about 60 seconds. Not about, we have 60 seconds or less to get out of our fire station for any medical run, and 90 seconds to get out of the fire station for any other run, fire, car accident. And the only reason why we get the extra 30 seconds is because of all the gear that we have, all the coats and the pants and all the equipment that we have to add for this other run. So doesn't matter if it's 2 in the morning and you are deep asleep, or if it's at 3 in the afternoon, you have to mentally and physically be ready to go within 90 seconds.
I wonder if that unpredictable nature of the job of a firefighter leads to more physical strain and makes it more taxing because you just don't know what's going to happen in the next second.
Well, it's very interesting that you say that because the Frater and the Medical College of Wisconsin, in collaboration with the Milwaukee Fire Department and different departments in the area, have been doing studies where they have actually taken firefighters and studied the sleep cycle, their heart rate, everything, as far as what goes, what happens inside our bodies at different times a day when we get those runs. And it is very interesting to see how the heart rate and the blood pressure, everything increases from the moment that tone goes off. And even when we are back at the station, that the physical adrenaline, if you will, continues. And it's one of the main reasons why about 46%, we have about 46% cases of cardiac arrest in the fire department. It's just something that out of all the different incidents or ways that we have lost firefighters in the line of duty or just related to the job, cardiac arrest is one of the highest ones. And it's because of that quick jump from being at rest, if you are, you know, doing something at the station or sleeping and having to be on your way to a fire where people are trapped and everything mentally takes a toll. You're listening to everything that's happening on the radio as the reports are coming in from dispatch and perhaps a company that already is on site, and you're hearing, okay, we have people trapped. So that kind of like it ups the sense of not stress, but the sense of urgency
and anxiety. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Andrew, I wonder, you know, you spoke with other firefighters for your reporting. What did you hear and what resonates with what Carlos is saying?
Absolutely everything. And my favorite part is that we actually have a measure from the Bureau of Labor Statistics for what Carlos is saying, that they measured the jobs that have the least control over their own work schedule. And firefighters is, of course, number one in the entire country. Another thing that came up a lot was exposure to hazardous materials, because it's not just cardiac arrest. Apparently, I was talking to the union folks, and they say that cancer is another leading cause of death for firefighters, and that is because it is the job that has is more exposed to hazardous materials than any other, according to this data set at least. And it certainly rings true, because as they were explaining to me, you know, you and I, when we do our jobs, we're in a nice, clean, OSHA approved mm-hmm. work site. Even if I'm working in a kitchen or in a factory, you know, the inspector has gone through. We've had generations of people making sure this is safe. But you cannot send an OSHA inspector into a burning building ahead of the firefighters to make sure you've got a safe workplace. So they are working in a much more dangerous area, and they are doing it while carrying sometimes as much as 100 pounds of equipment. That's, you know, 45 pounds of basic gear and oxygen tanks and all that, plus a big old hose and any other technology or tools you need to bring up there. And so they're in this dangerous, often wet, often chaotic situation. So it takes a toll physically in terms of injuries and just simple wear and tear on your body. They were telling me that it's really not a matter of, you know, if you're going to get, you know, the sort of injuries that'll slowly make it harder for you to do this job. It's a question of when.
Andrew Van Dam writes the Washington Post Department of Data column offers a perspective on how, you know, the most physical job in America, firefighters, and how journalists wrangle this data. We have Carlos Velasquez with us, lieutenant with the Milwaukee Fire Department, where he's the fire education director. Call in with a question. Share your on-the-job insights, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The Washington Post dives deep into data sets from the Labor Department to measure the physical requirements of various jobs in America. The most standing meat cutters, the wettest dishwashers, also in the mix, animal caretakers and nurse midwives. Call in with a question, share thoughts, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. We have Carlos Velasquez, who's a lieutenant with Milwaukee Fire Department, and Andrew Van Dam is Department of Data columnist at The Washington Post. Andrew, what other jobs are physically demanding in your analysis?
Oh, geez. So I guess a lot of them are very similar to firefighter, what you would think is jobs in the same family. That is paramedics, police officers, other first responders, fire inspectors, their bosses. All those jobs require that you need to be able to lift a lot of weight. You need to be able to push, pull, climb, all these different actions. Some other ones, though, that you would aren't quite in that same family would be like roofers or RV mechanics, diesel mechanics, as you can imagine.
Carlos, did you ever consider any other jobs than firefighter?
Yes. When I was very young, which it was quite a few years ago, to age myself, when we went to the fire stations as students from elementary schools, they would still let you slide down the pole with a firefighter, kind of like taking you down. That's not an option anymore. But firefighting was always very appealing to me since a very young age. After I finished high school, I went to school for engineering. Never did anything with engineering while I was at school. I started teaching at a local high school for 11 years, and then I became a firefighter shortly after 9/11. But yeah, engineering was there. Teaching has always been, I'm very passionate about teaching and education. So I have considered other jobs, but I really do enjoy the time that I have, that I have been a firefighter or that I have been with the fire department.
How often do you or your fellow firefighters get injured on the job?
That happens quite often. It is a physically demanding job. And thankfully, we do a lot of training. We do training within the fire station, the people inside the fire station. We do trainings with our battalions, which is usually just a combination of the five closest fire stations in different areas of the city. And we also do trainings with the whole department and other departments, other fire departments in the area that we collaborate with. Hmm. So we do a lot of training, but still the job, like Andrew was saying, is very demanding. Physically, yes, you know, putting the turnout gear, the coats, the pants, the boots, the SCBA, the breathing package and helmet and everything, you're talking about anything between 60 pounds to 100. That's without counting the hose and the tools and perhaps people that we have to help bring out or carry out. So injuries are very common in our career. We work through them, and we have a very good network, at least for us here, that take care of our bodies and make sure that we are physically able to continue doing the job safely.
Let's bring in Jim in Kenosha with a question. Jim, hello.
Yes, I don't have any doubts about how dangerous a fireman's job is, and they're the ones that actually run toward the fire. But I want to do a shout out to farm workers. I always thought that was a pretty dangerous job. You think of agriculture, you think of all that equipment. You think about injuries there.
Yeah.
Is the one reporter still there?
Yes, of course. Andrew, what about farming?
Oh, man. So that is, to me, the biggest hole in this survey, because as my dad, a dairy guy, pointed out early and often, we don't have as much data on those jobs due to sample size issues. And so they combine farming, fishing, and forestry into one big job. And it comes out as quite physically demanding, but it means we can't break out and just look at the milkers or the farmhands or any very specific, or the commercial fishermen or lumberjacks, two enormously demanding jobs that we just don't have as much data on.
But the milkers and all the other crew, they'd happily welcome you to your to their dairy farms here in Wisconsin, Andrew.
I'll
They'd
book the
even let
next
you try.
flyover. Oh man, I thought getting up for this interview was early. Imagine if I was milking again.
Well, we have a very limited amount of time, but I know that you get your curiosities from out in the world, and they help you go down these data-related, mysteries. Is there like an appeal you can make to all of Wisconsin about what you're searching for and what you want people to bring to you?
Absolutely. So we build so many of our columns on questions. Whatever a reader is curious about, they send in just the most goofiest random questions, like how many bachelors have bachelor's degrees? Well, that's actually a pretty good question. We might look it up sometime. How many Grammy Awards go to the most listened musicians? All these different things people wonder about, just go to the Washington Post, send them to me, and
Oh.
we might dig into them in the next column.
Oh, thank you both for joining us. Andrew Van Dam, Department of Data columnist at the Washington Post. Carlos Velasquez is a lieutenant with Milwaukee Fire Department, where he is the fire education director. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.